Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been looking forward to our time together. I hope that you have as well. These times are such a blessing for me in my life as we get to be in God's Word, and I trust that they're a blessing for you as well. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. And again, I hope that you are blessed by their work and their effort as well. But again, it's good to be with our Lord. I hope that you're having a wonderful day today. As I'm filming this today, it's extremely hot outside today. Haven't had any rain in several days and none is forecast. And the temperatures have been quite hot. It's beautiful to look outside, but it's quite hot. So I'm thankful that we can be in here in the air conditioning with each other, but most of all with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in our prayers. Father, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. Lord, the opportunity to know you. Father, for your wonderful salvation. Father, your wonderful cleansing, the reconciliation to which you bring us. Father, the adoption, O God, in which you have placed us. Father, to be able to call you Father. And Lord, thank you that you desire for us to know you, to grow in you, to walk with you, to experience you. Father, you've given us your word. You've given us your spirit. Father, you've given us this time to be before you. And Lord, more than anything else, we want to hear from you. Lord, open our eyes to see and know, O God, what you have to tell us. Lord God, let us be eternally changed from having been in your presence. Speak and move, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm sure all of us have heard the expression, and we probably have used it more than once on our occasion, but everyone else is doing it. As young people, we probably have said it. No doubt we've heard young people say it. And we adults, we might not say it quite like that anymore, but we essentially say the same thing. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. That's business. That's just the way that it's done. Saying the exact same thing. Everyone else is doing this, so therefore I'm going to do it the same way. And the temptation is to compromise when we look around us and we see, yes, certainly a majority of individuals, or at least a large number of them, are in fact doing it. But yet God calls us to live differently. God calls us to live for Him. You think about what we see in verse 20 as we continue looking at Psalm 37. And look at verse 27. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. And then drop down to verse 30, in the very first part of verse 31. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart. In other words, we are to live differently. We are to live for God. Now, that's not to ignore the reality. That is not to be naive. That is not to be out of touch with what is taking place in the world and the way that the world really is. In fact, as the psalm makes it very clear, you think about what we read in verse 32. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. In other words, it's very clear, you know, what the reality of what this world and what man's ways are like. But if that is the way that man operates, why shouldn't we compromise? Why shouldn't we join in? Why is there this call for us to live differently, to live for the Lord? Well, look what we see as we look at the last verses of this psalm, beginning in verse 27 and going through verse 40. Think about what the Holy Spirit inspired David to write. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Why shouldn't we just join in? After all, it seems like everybody else is doing it, or at least a majority of other people are doing it. Why shouldn't we just join in? Well, you think about what we see in this psalm, in these verses. We're reminded, first of all, that God is just. Look at the first part of verse 28. For the Lord loves justice. God is just. God is righteous in Himself, in all of His ways, in His sovereign reign. God is, in fact, righteous. God is, in fact, just. Now, David had seen this personally. You think about, again, what he said in verses 35 and 36. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Now, we're not sure who David is referring to there, but you think about the men whom David had seen, whom that applied to. Certainly Saul, who out of jealousy wanted to kill David. You think of the numerous enemies of Israel that David had to go and fight. You think about his own son Absalom and the rebellion, the coup that he attempted to lead. Several times David has seen violent, wicked men exalt themselves, puff themselves up, try to look like something or act like something, and every one of them David had seen God deal with. God is righteous. Why shouldn't we join in when it seems like everyone else is doing it, or at least that's the excuse we want to give? Because God is righteous, and God will in fact deal and move in righteousness. But then secondly, God is faithful. You know, one of the things that makes it difficult for us to resist that pull, that temptation to join in with what seems to be the majority, or even sometimes does seem to be everyone else, is that thinking, that feeling that we are alone, that we're outnumbered, that we are in fact abandoned. But we're not abandoned. We're not neglected. We're not forgotten. Think about what we see in the verse 28. And does not forsake His godly ones. God has not left us or abandoned us. You think about what we read in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, and listen to this, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I shall not be afraid. What shall man do to me? You think of the numerous times you've seen that in God's Word, probably one of the ones we think about the most. Very familiar story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And yet what happened when they were thrown in the fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he saw not three men but four. All of them were loose, one of them like the Son of God. They were not abandoned. God was there with them. Now, there are those times when it's not God's will to deliver us out of the persecution. Sometimes He delivers us through it, like Stephen when he was stoned. But we are never, ever abandoned. God is faithful. He is with us. You're not alone, child of God. Even you might be in some setting where it does seem like you're the only one who wants to live righteously, and that may very well be the case. But you're not alone. God is, in fact, faithful. We can trust Him. But look what else we see. We see number three, that God is in fact involved. You know, it's a terrible mistake to think of God being merely up there someplace. You know, just watching, maybe grading what we do. While God is sovereign, while God is in fact over all, God is personally involved in every situation in our lives. He is in fact with us. Going once more to verse 28, you think about what we see. They are preserved forever. You think about what we read in verse 31. The law of God is in His heart. His steps do not slip. You think about what we see again in verses 37 through 40. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord keeps them. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. God is personally involved. Again, you think about how you see this in numerous places in the Scriptures. You think about when God caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. God was personally involved in that battle. The fact is, it was because God was involved in that battle that the city was given to Joshua and the children of Israel. Child of God, God, our Father, is personally involved in your situation. He is working. He is moving. He's not merely up there. He's not merely watching to see how you handle it. He's not merely grading to see how you handle it. But He is, in fact, personally involved. We don't have to join in because the Almighty God is, in fact, with us. He has not abandoned us. And He, again, is righteous in all that He does. But then notice number 4, God is, in fact, good. Look what we see again in verse 34 and again in verse 37. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Look at verse 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. God desires to bless, and God will, in fact, bless us. You know, joining in, first of all, it never really solves the problem. Inevitably, it makes it worse. But it robs us of being able to experience God's best. And it robs us from being able to fully enjoy the blessing of what God intends to do. You think about Abraham and Sarah when God had promised them a child. Years went by, and what happened? They decided to handle the situation. And they decided to handle the situation the way that most people in their situation would handle that situation. They would take up one of their slave girls, in this instance, Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, and they would more or less make her a secondary wife to the husband, and the real wife, so to speak, would, quote, have children through her, kind of an ancient world surrogate mother type thing. And yes, that was how most people back then did that. But in the eyes of God, that was adultery. And what came out of that was Ishmael. And yes, God was merciful and gracious. He had a plan for Ishmael. But you think about it. What took place? All the friction, and quite frankly, a lot, not all, but a lot of the friction that we see even in the Middle East today comes from that episode. Because they did not wait upon the Lord. They did not trust the fact that God was good, that He would bless them, and He would work in a wonderful way. And they looked around. This is how most of the people handled this situation. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. They joined in. And they missed God's blessing. Yes, now God in His mercy, in His grace, still provided Isaac, the son of the promise. But again, you think of the friction that was there. God doesn't always do that. He did in that instant because it's part of His eternal plan. We don't need to join in because God, who is present, who is just, who is involved, is good in everything that He does, and we can rest and wait upon His good plan and work. We can trust Him. We don't have to be like everybody else. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Tragically, they don't. We pray for them. We seek to lead them unto the Lord. But when they don't know our Father, they don't know that they can wait upon Him and trust Him. We who are His children can, do, and must. So I hope as you look around today and as you live, and I have no doubt in some way, on some level, you're being tempted to do things just like everyone else does them. if nothing else other than your thinking right now. Everybody else does it. When in Rome, do as the Romans. We're called to live differently because we have a Father who is with us, working beautifully, who's righteous and who's involved, and we can trust Him. And I pray that whatever you face today, that you truly will trust Him and live as He wants you to live, and not merely doing what everybody else does because, quote, everyone else is doing it. God calls us to something far better. Let's not miss it. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You. Oh Lord, for Your love for us. Father, Your goodness, Your faithfulness. Father, Your personal involvement in our lives. Father, the fact that You are righteous and everything that You do is good. Lord, may we trust You, walk You, wait upon You, cling to You, and see You work and move. Lord, lead us to walk by faith and trust, living as You would have us to live, not simply doing what everybody else does. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day. Hope that you walk in fellowship with the Lord, that you'll see Him work and move in your life, that you'll experience the closeness of His fellowship as you go through this day.